This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
And now it is time to make that decision. It is Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you haven't signed up for the podcast, why wouldn't you have done that yet? Well, now is your opportunity, and you would do that by going to wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review on Carlin versus Joe. If you miss any of the show, it's all there every single day. So just do it on social media at Jay Fortenbaugh, on X at Chris Carlin. So the concept is simple. We are picking two teams as a show, one to go over their win total projected for the year, one to go under their win total projected for the year. Is that accurate?
Yeah, this is an adopt the team concept. We have three teams that the four of us root for. Handman and Wilner are both Yankees fans, so the Yankees are out of the equation. You are a Rangers fan. I am a Phillies fan. They are out of the equation. Outside of that, we as a show want to come up with bets that we are going to work on together so that we can cash together and go out and celebrate together at the end of the season. These are win total bets. We will be betting one over. We will find a team that we adopt, and we root for them to go over their win total bet. For example, if the over-under is 89.5 wins and we bet over, we need 90 or more wins. In addition, we will be betting one team under their win total. The purpose of this conversation is for the four of us to find those two teams.
Okay, so we will start with each of our propositions, or each of our proposals, I should say, on who we should take for the over. Would you like to begin?
If we are going to begin with a team that goes over their win total this year, I am going to pick the Oakland Athletics. I don't expect a lot of people to like this bet. The win total is 57.5. We don't need a whole lot to get there, gentlemen. We just need 58 wins. It sounds crazy, but the owner and the stadium situation, they've created a mess around this team to where everyone thinks they stink. They do, but they aren't as bad as they're priced. They won 50 games last year, but they got better as the season went on. 27%, that's how many games they won the first half of the year. 35% is what they won the second half of the year. If they had done that all season long, they would have ended up winning 58 games. Fangraphs projects them at 72 wins. The Zips projection system has them between 60 and 68 wins. I like the idea that the A's are better than they're being priced. I would play the A's over 57.5 wins.
Okay, Handman, you're next.
All right, well, I mean, it's not that low, but at 81.5, the Cincinnati Reds. Look, you said I'm a Yankee fan. We know that Yankee pitchers that come and struggle with the Yankees go to other teams and usually pitch pretty well. One of their big acquisitions and the opening day starter, Frankie Montas, along with a really good young lineup. Ellie De La Cruz last season was very electric. So they had 82 wins last year when I thought they were starting to put it together. I think this is a breakout season for the young team as a whole. They'll get Nouvelle Marte, the young shortstop prospect, back after an 80-game suspension. Matt McClain had surgery. Don't know if he's going to return, but at some point you're going to get some acquisitions back and without having to make a move. And then the rest of the rotation, Nick Lodolo is coming back as well. So I think that this team is ready to take a step forward. That 81.5 is based off last year's team. This year's team, I think, has gotten better. So I like Reds over 81.5 wins.
Evan Wilner.
Yeah, I like the Royals over 73.5 wins. They have a budding superstar, if he's not already there, in Bobby Witt Jr. Their pitching staff is better and should be better than it was last year. They still have Salvador Perez as he returns for his 13th season. I think the Royals are trending back up, and I think they are going to be better than 73.5 wins.
And I am on the San Francisco Giants, and they are north of 83.5 wins. And here's why. I look at what they did this offseason. Obviously, very late, they added to their pitching by bringing in Blake Snell. Excellent move. Jung-Ho Lee, they brought over from Korea. Not a lot of people know about him. Hit 340 during the spring. Feel pretty good about that. Giants did not score enough runs last year, but they were 11th in pitching. They add Snell to that. They traded for Robbie Ray. They'll get him somewhere back from surgery mid-season. I like the Giants at over 83.5 this season. They will do enough offensively. And by the way, they also have Jorge Soler. So, Joe, that's where I am. So, our four over selections to debate. Oakland, 57.5. Cincinnati 81.5, Royals 73.5, Giants 83.5. Any early thoughts?
Early thought, I'm very happy that we didn't agree on any of them. We're going to make this as extremely difficult as possible, not even close. We're not even in, are any of these even in the same division? Nobody. We don't have it. We got the AL Central, the AL West, the NL West, and the NL Central. We got nothing lining up here. So initial thoughts, I obviously like my Oakland pick. I do like Evan's Kansas City pick. That's another one I have played in the preseason. The Giants, covered them for 6 years. Not a huge fan of the current regime. Not sure what to make of them. Not for or against. Handman's Cincinnati pick, I got to be honest, before we came on air, he was talking about how his pick already lost a player to injury. Who'd you lose, the second baseman?
Yeah, Matt McClain. But they signed Jamer Candelario from the Nationals last season.
Just feels like a disaster. Although that is a fun team to get behind.
Yeah.
I would like to make the argument against Joe's A's pick because the last time Joe made a suggestion on the A's and I was working with him was like the first time we worked together last summer. He loved the A's to light up Domingo Germán, and then Germán went out and threw a perfect game. So I am already anti-Joe's A's pick because that's the last time
that's
I worked
true.
With you and you made an A's bet.
That is true.
But I like the A's. I like your pick.
If it makes anyone feel better, not only was there a problem on the radio show where I look like an idiot, I also did that on TV too. So every audience was subjected to that idiocy.
But the rotation's much better, Joe. I mean, they brought in some veterans, Alex Wood, Ross Stripling, and then I like this kid, Joe Boyle. So I think the pitching last year was a big part of that problem. So I think the increasing veteran status with some of these pitchers, JP Sears is there as well. So I actually like your Oakland pick. I'm willing to go with that one if that's what you
decide. And here's the thing. I'm willing to ride the A's too, primarily because they are expected to do nothing. So the fact that we are attached to the Oakland A's, who feel as inconsequential as anybody in the game, I like the fact that we can jump on and be a part of that inconsequentiality.
All right, that's something. We don't have to lock in right now. We can say that we're leaning in a certain direction. We got some thoughts, and now we can go ahead and make our presentations for our under wagers if we want to do that as well.
Let's do
that. Carlin, would you like to begin?
I would like to begin with you.
Okay, beginning with me, I am going to go under a very popular team this year. It's going to be the Baltimore Orioles. Their win total is 90.5. I'd like to play the under. They won 101 games last year. But if you look at the Pythagorean win expectation, plus 129 run differential, they were more of a 94-win team rather than a 101-win team. They exceeded expectation. There is some regression coming this year. I think everyone's going to love the Orioles this year. Tough division, under 90.5 wins for Baltimore.
Handman.
Right, I'm going to go with a popular team from the last few years, the Houston Astros, right? I'm not popular as in popularity. We all know that everybody despises them because of the cheating scandal. But I think that 92.5, they had 90 last season. I just think they're overvalued because of just how good they had, the good of run they had for 5 years. So they have some injuries with Justin Verlander, Luis Garcia, some pitching. Lance McCullers is always hurt. So I'm going to go with the under 92.5 for the Astros.
Evan Wilder.
Yeah, I actually couldn't come up with one. Because I wanted to go Yankees, and that was against the rules, and it's Handman's. I think the Yankees are going to be terrible. This is just my argument for why I think the Yankees I root for are going to be awful.
No, don't do this.
Let him do it. Let him do it so we have it on tape.
No, the assignment was clear. If he failed in the assignment, that's fine. He does not get to give a Yankees take in replacement for the assignment. You get an F. You're not turning in a second paper. What was so hard about the assignment?
It wasn't hard.
There it was as basic as can be, and it was given out hours ago.
There were no picks. There are nobody in baseball that I like the under. Like, I think all of these teams that I take for the under.
All 30 are going over this year?
Well, all the ones. It was supposed to be a team that's good that I think is going to be bad. The teams that Vegas thinks are good, I still think are going to be good. The teams that I think in Vegas are going to be bad are the Yankees. Can't pick that. The Phillies, I think, will be under 89.5. Can't pick that.
To be fair, you like the Rockies, but that was too low.
I do like the Rockies. I like the Rockies under 60.5 because they did nothing this offseason. Everybody around them in their division got better. I think the Rockies are going to be terrible, but I was told I couldn't pick that. So, yeah, I understood the assignment. I did the assignment.
Doesn't seem like you did understand the assignment, because if you did, the assignment would have been completed.
I can't wait till the next time I ask for a pick from you, and you're like, well, I can't do this because of this one and this one and this one.
Just so everyone's aware, I've given out over 500 picks on this show. I think my ability to make picks, while the accuracy may be off at times, the ability to actually make the pick, never in question.
In a shocking turn of events, we have gotten caught up in the weeds on a completely inconsequential argument.
Not
because
shocking.
We don't have a pick.
Told you this was going to happen this morning. Made
but
it crystal clear.
You assumed it would be me.
Made it crystal clear at the start of the show this would be a disaster. It has proven to be a disaster.
Well,
I'd
Joe, let me
clear
things up.
You've got something special
up.
Here for us.
Allow me to clear things up. The Cardinals under 85.5. Why? Spite. We do it out of spite.
The old spite bet, huh?
Yes.
I'm not opposed to it.
I don't know if you know this. Michelle Smallman, huge Cardinals fan.
Oh, this is despite Smallman?
From St. Louis. Not despite Smallman, despite the morning show. I think
yeah,
if there's
but you got to go after someone other than Smallman. She's the she's the only likable one on that show.
I agree that she's the only likable one, but every once in a while you want to, you know, kind of stick it to the person who's likable too. And to me, this is just about the whole show. I love Michelle, I do. But I do enjoy seeing other people's teams suffer as well. And see them suffer as a result of it. So just as our way of going after the morning show, and also the fact that somehow I'm supposed to get excited about a couple of their signings this offseason, like Kyle Gibson, he of the career 6 ERA, him and Lance Lynn. No, I'm sorry. But that aside, out of spite, I say we go against the Cardinals.
Feels like bad mojo going against someone like Smallman. She's such a nice person.
Right, she really is a wonderful person.
Sonny Gray.
He's on the Cardinals.
He is. And also, I do it out of spite, still out of 2011, because, you know, enough.
You just won a World Series. No one wants to hear your problems.
I don't forget.
Nobody wants to hear about your problems. You won a World Series. Get over it.
I just visited my 91-year-old mother, okay? She is mentally fading. But if I ask her to remember what happened when my fifth grade teacher sent me home because I didn't have a signed permission slip, she will go after her and fire that fastball like you wouldn't believe. My family is trained to remember the grudges, and we always will.
All right,
let me
we'll
tell
get,
you something.
We'll get
Mrs.
to the
Hinchliffe,
at some point.
Mrs. Hinchliffe, still on that list. And by the way, it was a field trip to McDonald's, which makes it even worse.
How did you get, you got sent home from a field trip to McDonald's?
I was never allowed to go because I didn't have the permission slip. And I said,
how'd you not get a permission slip to your favorite place on earth?
Because my mom that morning had left early and she didn't sign it.
So it feels like someone like you would have had that signed 3 months in advance.
I said, just call her. She's home. And the exact quote was, no slip, no trip. You may as well go home now.
Who takes a field trip to McDonald's?
It's kids. You get to see how it is behind the scenes. That's all.
Back there and you see how they make the fries?
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry that you're not curious as a kid.
Clearly not one of those Montessori schools they're rolling out there these days.
You know, the first time I saw that, I thought it had something to do with dinosaurs. Montessori.
Why?
I don't, because of the word Montessori. It's weird. I don't know. First time I saw Montessori.
The word you find that word to be weird and somehow connected it to the dinosaurs.
First time I saw it, I was 10. So
first time you saw the word Montessori.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Carlin versus Joe.
Well, this segment was everything it was promised to be.
So we haven't committed to anything.
No. That's okay. We've got the information out there. Now we can all marinate and figure it out.
Let's hear from you. Pick a team that you think will be over or under their MLB win total this year. We'll take your opinion on it since Joe's getting all cranky. It's next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You're over, you're under. Convince us. Maybe we'll take your pick. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Thanks to Mr. Joyless over there.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We had our debate. Now it's your turn. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The baseball team over or under that you love this season on their win total. If you don't know it off the top of your head, we got it right at the tip of our fingers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We're going to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We will start on the phones. Joe is in Minnesota, up first on ESPN Radio. Joe, go!
Pains me to say this, but the Twins ain't making their 86.5. They're going under. Last year, they caught lightning in a bottle. I don't see it. You watch them in spring training, they're pathetic. There's no hitting. Their pitching staff is not what it was last year. If I could bet, I can't because Minnesota don't allow sports gambling. I would put the house on the under. That's all I'm saying. It hurts me to say that, but.
I'll make that bet. I'm sold. There's nothing like a fan calling up to tell you to bet the under on his own team. The team he loves, the team he watches every day.
Yep.
Nothing like that. And I would bet that under.
He knows that team inside and out. So that would tell you right away, maybe not a bad way to go with some insight there.
So disgusted in his beloved Twins, he called a national radio show to tell the hosts to bet against them.
Before they have played an inning of real baseball all season. That is our industry in a nutshell there.
I think we got our under. The have great we come people to at Minnesota sort of, have spoken.
Have we come to any sort of a consensus as to where we stand on this?
We're all over the place. Handman kind of likes my A's over pick. I like Wilner's over Royals pick, so I can get behind that as well. The other two I need to sort through, Handman's Reds and your Giants. I'm not opposed to either, which is good news. If you guys had brought something out where I've already bet the other way, I would let you know it, and that has not happened in these instances, so we have that. In terms of the other direction, we had three with our unders. We had Baltimore was
Baltimore 90.5, Astros 92.5, Cardinals 85.
I got to be honest. I didn't say this earlier. Handman, the Astros, I don't know if I want to get in front of that train. Like, do we want to bet against the Astros and have to watch that all season long?
Plus, that number's only 92.5. I mean, with the Astros,
new manager,
that's just going to feel light.
I don't know.
What?
New manager, that's it. You're not even that sold on it sounds like.
I wouldn't put my stake out there instead of one of your twos, basically. So yeah, I
this is incredible.
I like
Carlin.
It, but look, the Cardinals I don't like as much. What was yours again? You're under.
My under was Baltimore.
Yeah, I like that one. Actually, I do like that one.
All right, you know what? Take a breath. Take a breath. Get organized back there. You're all over the place. You don't like you're selling us on picks you don't even like. I need you to be into it. You gave out the Reds the moment the second baseman got hurt. You didn't even think about pivoting on that. And now you're out here pitching the Astros, and at the first sign of pushback, you're pulling the ripcord.
You did mention a good point, though. Do I really want to be discussing the Astros week to week? throughout the summer.
I'll be honest, I bet the under on the Dodgers this year, and I'm looking pretty good because they're only 500. That's trajectory-wise, they're only on their way to 81 wins.
I absolutely love the idea of Hanman making arguments and then pulling back on them. Like, I want to see Hanman in a courtroom defending me. Oh. And then be like, you know what? He actually makes a pretty good point here. I think you probably should vote guilty.
He lays out the Astros, and all I say is, I'm like, I don't know. Like, do we really want to bet against the Astros? And he's like, yeah, you're right. I don't think I want to do that.
You really want to bet against this mountain of evidence?
Talking about money here.
We should send him away. We should send him away for good. He's like Lionel Hutz as your attorney from The Simpsons.
I just turned to you. Did you do it?
Let's get a couple of more opinions in. Here's Marshawn in Iowa next, ESPN Radio. Marshawn.
How you guys doing, man? I listen to you guys every day, man. This is the first time I got on here, man. Thank God.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Every day, man. You, Freddie, Carlin. I take bets because of you guys. So, listen, man. The way I look at it this year, I like the Cubs. I've always liked the Cubs, and they pitching has gotten better. So, I'm going to go to over wins with them. Now, when it comes to the Braves, I feel like the Braves will probably do under. They look good every year, man, but as soon as they get to the end of the season, blah. I don't know why.
Listen,
that's a freight train right there to get in front of.
As you said that about the Astros, I don't know if I can do that with the Braves.
See, the thing with the Braves is I'm a Philly fan. I hate the Braves. So if I bet the under on the Braves and they play like the Braves, like I'm getting double dipped on that one.
Yeah. That's Jeremy in Chicago next. What do you think, Jeremy?
I think I got the Cubs. I think they'll go over, and I think the White Sox will go under.
Not a lot of faith in the White Sox this year.
Now, that White Sox number is pretty darn low.
Oh, did you see what they just rolled out at the ballpark, though? It's like this Sunday. Oh, I should have come up with the details for this. It's a s'more Sunday. Ice cream, and then at the top, it's marshmallow, graham cracker. The thing's gigantic.
So no free medium soda.
No, this isn't a Giants game. I got to tell you, if you and I had been doing this show when that happened, I did weeks of material on that free medium soda nonsense.
The White Sox are at 61.5, and he wants to go under. I mean, they just traded Dylan Cease.
They're not exactly going for it.
No, I don't think so. Cubs over for the season. Let's see here. They are at 84.5.
Cubbies over is an interesting one. I can get behind that for sure.
All right.
That's a fun team to root for.
So we'll make
our... And that spites Smallman at the same time. She's a Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
So you get the spider without the bad mojo.
I guess that's true. By the way, this just from passing, a little bit of breaking news, speaking of some baseball. So let us get to that. Joseph, as I cannot find the sounder at the moment, Will Smith and the Dodgers agreeing on a 10-year $140 million contract extension.
That's nothing.
Their catcher.
10 years, $140 million, that's nothing. Wake me up when it's $140 billion.
Chump change.
That's not. Come on, Will Smith. You see everyone else getting paid.
Breaking news.
Ohtani just got $700 million. He doesn't even realize when $4.5 million is getting stolen from him.
Chump change.
That's a good contract, though. Will Smith's a hell of a player. We're just joking around.
Joseph, we will come to a consensus tomorrow. Is that fair?
That works for me.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Jaden Daniels appears to be about as good of a quarterback prospect as there is. So why does it seem like sometimes they're giving him the Heisman, so to speak? It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And he runs to the far side, 20, 25 outside the numbers, to the 40, a lot of room to run across midfield, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, 80.
He is vintage Lamar. It's the running ability. 1,200 yards rushing this past year, 10 touchdowns on the ground, 22 touchdowns, zero interceptions on passes, over 20 yards. So he is the best deep ball thrower in this class.
The moment is never too big for Jake. The bigger the moment, you can anticipate he's going to find a way to make a play.
Jaden Daniels Pro Day today. The dude is electric. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. If you do not follow the show that follows us, you are thoroughly missing out. With Freddie and Harry, Mr. Douglas is with us right now. Mr. Coleman will join him at the top of the hour. And I have to say, nobody has more fun in radio or in their jobs than Freddie and Harry. Because let me tell you something, Harry. I'm scrolling through Twitter yesterday, and I come across your Twitter. And coming out of a break, you're playing some Rick Ross, "Every Day I'm Hustling," and the entire show is dancing. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. So every second and fourth Tuesday of the month, we dedicate our music towards a city, right? And yesterday was the city of Miami, so we had some Rick Ross. We had a lot of different underground music as well. Just wanted to represent those cities. The very first one we did was the city of Atlanta. Now, the next one that we're going to do will be the city of Memphis. And I can't wait for that, because you got 3-6 Mafia, you have Young Dolph, you got all kind of artists that grew up in Memphis. I'm talking about the old artists as well now. So we don't just predicate this thing towards the new school music. We go all the way back in times, and we bring music back from the old days as well.
The energy is high, and it's awesome to watch. Just watching you and Freddie. I mean, I was sitting there like mesmerized. I kept playing "Watch Again" just to see the two of you. You're like flapping your arms like you're about to start
flying. Guess
what,
Carla? Guess what? I didn't misspoke already. It's not every second and fourth Tuesday. It's every first and third Tuesday.
Whatever. It's awesome, and that's what matters. He is Harry Douglas, of course. He's an NFL analyst. He is on the UFL broadcast as well. You're getting ready for that this weekend. But let's talk a little Jaden Daniels and Pro Day. Listen, you know, there's been so much discussion around Caleb, and that's understandable. And there's been discussion around Drake May. And yet it feels like when we get to Daniels, one of the first things that people talk about is what his stature is like. We heard Dan Orlovsky talk about it this morning. Like, one of the things that's noticeable right away. I'm going to play that clip for you right now and just get your take on it from what Dan had to say.
I think it's going to be paramount today, outside of how impressive he's going to be throwing the football. What does he look like stature-wise? He's listed at 6'4", 210 pounds. That would be in the Jordan Love, Joe Burrow frame. But I want to see how teams walk away, specifically at the top of the draft, in the comfort and his ability to take some of those shots.
Listen, I get where he's coming from. But this feels like one of those things where we just start looking for what's wrong with a guy.
Well, that's the reason why it takes too long for the draft to get here, because we have so much time to really critique and get down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to all these players, to the point to where we're really nitpicking. Now, did he take some shots in college that he probably don't want to take in the National Football League? Hell yes. But at the same time, I believe at the quarterback position in the National Football League, you're protected more so than you are in college, I believe. And with all the rule changes of what you can't do, can't hit guys in the helmet, you can't have your body weight landed on the quarterback. On top of, I understand that Jaden Daniels loves the game of football, and it's more so of a business now, right? You don't have to go to class. Your nutrition is going to be better. You can eat, sleep, and literally poop football all day long for the duration of your NFL career. So I believe he's also going to have the ability to be stronger and get stronger, and also eat a lot differently so he can gain weight. So, Carlin, I had this problem when I got the National Football League. And in college, I was on this thing called the X list, where I had to sit with my weight coaches and eat until they told me to stop. But then I found ways when I got into the National Football League to finally gain that weight. And Jaden is going to have to figure out what specifically works for him without hampering his game. Because that's the reason why he's in the position right now to be drafted top five in the National Football League, right? It's because of his play on the football field, the playmaking ability, the accuracy, how he throws the deep ball, and also the athleticism. But at the same time, we don't want to be focused so much on, hey, you got to gain weight. Now his lower back is hurting him. And he's feeling uncomfortable out there on the football field and can't be the best version of himself.
It is Harry Douglas with us. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. I have not gotten your take on this, and it's kind of driven me nuts here over the last few weeks, especially when I started to hear the other day, well, people could be talking about J.J. McCarthy at number two. Harry, the guy that jumps up and starts flying up boards after the season ends, that we didn't hear a ton about, that people didn't think much about during the year when they are winning all those games. Why am I supposed to believe now that J.J. McCarthy is a top four pick where he has not been talked about in that way back when he was playing football?
Well, I think J.J. McCarthy is a top 15, top 20 prospect in this draft. Now, here's what we got to factor into the equation, Carlin. When you look at these teams that need quarterbacks, whether it's the Minnesota Vikings, the Denver Broncos, and Las Vegas Raiders, and three teams that are picking 11, 12, and 13th in the draft, you're going to go up and get who you need to get because you don't have time to be sitting back and waiting for a guy to be coming to you, especially if you're competing. If you're the Denver Broncos and you're the Raiders and you're trying to compete in a AFC West and an AFC conference that's loaded with quarterbacks, and if you don't have one, you don't stand a chance. But also, if you look at the Minnesota Vikings and how the NFC North is constructed now, because Jordan Love came on last season, and the Green Bay Packers are looking to have a wonderful year in 2024. What we've seen from the Detroit Lions, what we've seen trade-wise and free agency-wise from the Chicago Bears, and they're looking like they're going to take Caleb Williams number one overall. You have to have a quarterback to compete number one in the AFC as a conference in the AFC West division. But if you're thinking about the NFC North, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you need a quarterback in that division as well because things have gotten better. We went into last season before anything started thinking that the NFC North was going to be the worst division. It can easily be one of the top divisions in 2024.
I got to get one more from you, and that's on what's going on in Pittsburgh. What is your read on who the starting quarterback is going to be at the beginning of the year for the Steelers?
I think the beginning of the year is going to be Russell Wilson. And Mike Tomlin came out and said, you know, he's in pole position. That's not saying he's 100% won the job, but, you know, he's in a position to where if he loses it's because he lost it and Justin Fields did their thing. But I think starting the year, he's going to be the quarterback, but then Pittsburgh might get to a point to where Justin Fields and the talent speaks for itself and he may take over.
Love it. Harry, he is coming by and giving us the extra. He always gives us the extra. That's what he does. He's Harry Douglas. His Freddie and Harry is coming up in just moments. And as I said, he's got the UFL this weekend fired up for you, bud. And appreciate you popping on for a few.
Nah, no problem. You know I love you and Joe.
Oh, listen, we love you. I don't mean to make it weird, but we do. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NCAA is looking to make another change, but this one is a good one. We'll explain next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
We were just talking about Jaden Daniels, had his pro day today, and Someone who is right there to see it all joins us now. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Tune into NBA action tonight as the Nuggets host the Suns. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us from Jaden Daniels Pro Day. Lewis, it's Chris Carlin. Appreciate a few minutes. First of all, just give me the layout from what you saw from the guy that we presume is going to be a top three pick in Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think it's a safe presumption that he'll be a top three pick. I think after today, and you see him in person, you see how the ball comes out of his hand, how the ball just kind of cuts through the air with the velocity it does, the ease with which he throws, the power with which he throws. Look, if I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? Because for me, look, I got to see both him and Caleb now back-to-back, and I love talking to Caleb, and I love the way, you know, he kind of contextualized everything that's going on with him right now. And with Jaden, the same way, just so composed, so mature, has a great sense of where he still needs to go and what he needs to work on. The way he got around with his teammates today and just how personable he was and how authentic it came off. And then the way he threw the football, the movement, the touch, the accuracy. Look, I thought he knocked it out of the park. Are there a few throws he'd like to have back? Yeah, he said that. And I don't really care about that because I'm not going to, like, sway my opinion one way, especially in a negative way, because he maybe missed a deep shot that traveled 65 yards in the air. But I'm just telling you this. This kid is special. This kid, for me, is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, this kid may just be QB1.
Okay, so is it splitting hairs now, or was there, you mentioned a couple of the things. What would specifically put him ahead if you're making that decision?
For me, look, I think, all right, I think the number one differentiator for me is not that Caleb cannot play in structure, because he can. He played out of structure, out of necessity a lot of times at SC. I just think it's the way in which Jaden has increasingly become even more comfortable in structure, while also having very, very rare quarterback run skills. If he decided, hey, you know what? It's not working here in structure. I need to get out of here and take off with my legs. He's showing you that. And you just, I think for me, it's that how he has shown that he can do both at a very, very high level, and he is still ascending in terms of his ability to win from the pocket, beat you with his mind in addition to his physical skills. I think for me, and then standing here at 6'3 and a half, almost 6'4, 210 pounds, and by no means is this young man skinny, so we can debunk that myth. The whole, is he going to be durable in the NFL? Do you have the right frame? He's going to get bigger. He's already put together in his lower half. There are no issues for me whatsoever, having stood right next to him. All those things together would make me go, that's what I want.
That was my next question, but Lewis Riddick joins us. He was just at Jaden Daniels Pro Day and is blown away by what he saw. Having said that, now, when you interviewed him a few minutes ago, what jumped out in the way he handled himself?
He's very composed. He's very personable. You know, you hear that he was, you know, kind of, I don't want to say laid back, but maybe more quiet at the combine in some of the interviews, in some of the 15-minute, you know, formal interviews that he had. Although it's hard for someone to loosen up real quickly in that kind of environment and really show you their authentic self. I just thought, for me here, he just seems like someone who is increasingly becoming comfortable with this process, where you're seeing what his personality really is. And you're seeing that he's someone who is a natural born leader, who takes leadership seriously, who gets on with his teammates in a very natural way. It's not forced. He's not someone who you can tell is out here trying to, you know, impress people by how much he jokes around with his guys. It's just naturally a part of him. The way he was interacting with Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., I mean, you could tell that's just what they do. That's just who they are. It wasn't a show in any way. And in talking to him, he's just a young man who's just locked in. He's locked in on what he needs to do on the field, what he's trying to get done off the field, what it means to be a good teammate, what it means to be a good quarterback. he's just locked in. Like, and if I was in the NFL front office right now, I would be fired up at the prospects of drafting him. And if I wasn't in position to where I had my first choice, I'd be trying to figure out how the hell do I get in position to draft him.
Louis Riddick is with us. He was at the pro day for Jaden Daniels. It was also there for Malik Nabers. The other day, Mike Tannenbaum had Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison in his mock draft. Yeah. What did we see from Nabers?
He's just, I'll tell you what, this guy, you think about Jamar Chase, and if you've ever seen Jamar Chase up close, he's built like a five-star running back in his lower half. You know, strong quad, calves, real strong through his core. Malik's exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. He ran in the mid-4.3s in the 40. He said he'd been dealing with a little bit of a toe injury, and now he's just, you know, getting back to being 100%. Caught the ball like he had Stick'Em on his hands. I mean, he's a do-it-all wide receiver. That's a three-position guy. He can play in the slot. He can play the flanker. He can play the split end. He's got deep speed, despite the fact that he's, you know, just above 6 foot, about 199 pounds. He plays much bigger than that. There's nothing the kid can't do. I talked to Brian Kelly earlier today, and he said the kid's so humble. Although he's one of the best, if not the best, statistically wide receiver ever come through LSU, he's just so humble and just understands that there's still more work to be done. I mean, these dudes are just impressive, man. They're just impressive. And having been around locker rooms my whole life, you can tell when someone's BSing you and someone's just putting on a show. I would have loved to have played with these guys. They just come off as those kind of competitors. And it's infectious. It's fun to be around. It makes the job a lot of fun.
All right, I got 30 seconds left, Lewis. You got Drake May's pro day tomorrow. It sounds like he's got a lot to live up to here. What are you looking for?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And you know what? That's the cool part of it, right? I mean, you're just continuing to gather information. You're continuing to try and piece this thing together and try and get a complete picture of what all these young men bring to the table. But so far, look, between how I felt watching Caleb throw and talking to him, talking to the people around him, watching Jaden throw, talking to him, talking to the people who know him the most and know him the best, yeah. Yeah, it's a high bar to clear in order to try and jump ahead of those two dudes. Because they've got it going, and that's what's going to make the end of April a whole lot of fun when we get to Detroit.
Lewis, awesome stuff. Thanks for squeezing us in for a few minutes on a busy day.
You got it, dude. Thanks.
Lewis Riddick down at Jaden Daniels Pro Day. Wow. 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 You listen to what he had to say at the beginning there. I'm looking at this dude, and if I'm Chicago, I got to say, who do we take? That's how much he blew people away. And I know we joke around because Mel, you know, a couple weeks ago saying pro days don't mean anything. Sounded like that pro day meant an awful lot for Jaden Daniels. If that all of a sudden, and Louis Riddick is a talent evaluator by trade and has been in front offices at a very high level. If it is making him think that the Bears now have a real decision to make, wow, this draft just got a whole lot more interesting.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.